Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, March 16, 2023, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We are studying the greatest dissertation on virtue, love, in the God-breathed scriptures, beginning 1 John 3, verse 10, through the rest of chapter 3, chapter 4, and chapter 5. Nowhere else in the Word of God is this presented in such detail. 1 John chapter 3, in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, let's start the corrected translation at verse 16. 1 John 3, verse 16. By this we have come to know impersonal love for all, that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, and only the Lord Jesus Christ, laid down his life for us as a substitute for the entire human race, the greatest illustration of impersonal love for all. And therefore, we are obligated to lay down our lives for the brethren, demonstrate impersonal love for all. Verse 17. But if anyone has the world material possessions, food, clothing, money, wealth, prosperity, and he sees that his fellow believer is destitute, in need of something, and he has shut up, locked up his heart against him, that is, he has no impersonal love for all, then it is impossible that this virtue love from God abides in him. My dear children, John's congregation, let us not love, that is, impersonal love for those who are destitute, is not to be with word only, nor with tongue. It's not all talk, all blow and no go. There's a lot of believers, they're just all talk. But it is to be by means of grace, righteous production, the Royal Family Honor Code, and by means of absolute truth, maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Verse 19. And so, by means of this impersonal love for all, we shall know that we are of the truth, and we shall have confidence in our hearts before Him, God the Father. Verse 20. Because if our heart condemns us, that is, we are out of fellowship with God, living in the cosmic system, third class condition, maybe you are, maybe you aren't. Bear in mind that God is greater than your heart. In fact, He has always known all things. And of course, that brought us to a study of the omniscience of God. So in 1 John 3, verse 20, we have, if our heart condemns us, that is, we are out of fellowship with God, living in the cosmic system. Now in verse 21, we have, if our heart condemns us not, that is, we are in fellowship with God, living the spiritual life. So in verse 20, we have the believer out of fellowship with God, living in the cosmic system, and our heart condemns us. How does it condemn us? Because we have norms and standards in our conscience that say, this is sin. This is sin. What you're doing is sin. It's human good. It's evil. It's wrong. You're now entrapped in Satan's cosmic system. So the norms and standards of the heart of the believer condemn us. Because we're out of fellowship with God, living in Satan's cosmic system. Now in verse 21, we have, if our heart condemns us not. And if it condemns us not, it's because we're in fellowship with God, living the spiritual life. So 1 John 3:21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not. This is the same verb in verse 20 as in verse 21, kataginosko, to condemn. If our heart condemn us not, we have the vocative plural of the verbal adjective agapetos, plus the nominative singular of cardia with a definite article, plus the conditional particle aeon with the present active subjunctive of kataginosko, but this time with the negative may, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego. Agapetos. Looks like this in the Greek. That's A-G-A-P, long E-T-O-S, agapetos. This is a verbal adjective. It's often translated beloved. You are loved. We are loved. And this word, agapetos, was used in a very special way. And it relates to us being loved as royal family of God. So one, the Lord Jesus Christ is called agapetos, the beloved one. In Ephesians 1, verse 6. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the agapetos. He is beloved. Turn over to Ephesians 1, 6. In fact, we'll start at Ephesians 1, verse 5. Ephesians 1, verse 5. We got a call today, and I don't answer if I don't recognize anything. I'll let the deacons handle that. And a person wanted to know about class and coming to class and if she needed anything. And Al says, do you have a Bible? She said, no. Well, you'll need one of those. If you don't have one, come and we'll give you one. And it won't cost more than $100. No, it's free. We've given away multitudes of Bibles over the years to people who come and don't have one. You come, we'll give you a Bible because we study the Word of God. So verse 5, He, God the Father predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the grace purpose of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by means of which grace he has pursued us with grace in the beloved. The beloved is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is in union with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, God the Father declares Jesus Christ is the beloved, and we are in union with Jesus Christ, and so we are the beloved. So the Lord Jesus Christ is called agapetos, Ephesians 1:6. 2. We are in union with Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit at salvation. Current positional truth. God the Holy Spirit identifies us with Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. His death and burial, retroactive positional truth. His resurrection, current positional truth. We are in union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. So we are not... We are totally different than any believers in all of human history. We are totally different from any believers in any other dispensation. Throughout human history, before the church age, when a person believed in Jesus Christ, he had regeneration. He was born again. He was a member of the family of God. He was family of God. But in the church age, and only in this dispensation, when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are baptized by the Spirit into union with Jesus Christ, into union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. So we are not family of God. We are royal family of God. In union with Jesus Christ, positional sanctification. And that sets us apart from all other believers in history. We are living in the greatest dispensation of all. It results in providing for us the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, which is the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, because God has for us a unique spiritual life. And that spiritual life can only operate by divine power. It's a supernatural way of life, demands supernatural power for its execution, demands the filling of the Holy Spirit. So we're all indwelt by the Spirit, so that we might be filled with the Spirit to live this unique spiritual life. And why do we have to have this? Because we live in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. For the first time in human history, Satan's attack is on every single believer in the church age. That was never true throughout human history up to the church age. Before, the attack was on the line of Christ. And then with the second advent, incarnation of the eternal Son of God, the attack was on Jesus Christ. That's why he received the first spirit, unique spiritual life. But now the Lord Jesus Christ is resurrected, ascended, and seated at the right hand of the Father. And now the attack is on the body of Christ. And we make up the body of Christ, and the attack for the first time in history is on every single one of us. But God has a fantastic grace provision. Grace provision. This unique spiritual life. And he has given us, we have a universal priesthood of the believer. You are all priests. We have a universal ambassadorship of the believer. We are all royal ambassadors for Jesus Christ. So point two, we are in union with Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit at salvation. Jesus Christ is agapetos, the beloved one. We are in union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit at salvation. So three, now that we are in union with Christ, we are beloved by God the Father. We are beloved by God the Father. For God the Father loves us with infinite virtue love, because we are in union with Jesus Christ and we share the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God the Father loves us with infinite virtue love, infinite personal love. Personal love goes to us because we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and infinite impersonal love. So God the Father loves us with infinite virtue love because we are in union with Christ, share the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Five, therefore, we are accepted in the beloved, in union with Christ. We are accepted in the beloved, in union with Jesus Christ. Six, now as royal family of God, we are the beloved. Agapetos. Now as royal family of God, we are the beloved. Seven, God the Father loves the royal family of God with infinite virtue love. God the Father loves the royal family of God with infinite virtue love. Eight, and that means God has the most unique and special plan for your life. He has the best plan for your life. The most unique and special plan for your life been provided for you by God is called the unique spiritual life. The ultimate objective of that unique spiritual life is to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advance to maturity, so that virtue love might be brought to completion in your heart. That's the ultimate objective. So that virtue love might be brought to completion in your heart. And when virtue love is brought to completion in your heart, well, you'll have personal love for God the Father. And that will motivate impersonal love for all mankind. God the Father is invisible. Nobody's ever seen the Father. Nobody's ever seen God the Holy Spirit. God the Father and God the Holy Spirit are invisible, but real. And yet, when you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, you develop personal love for God the Father, the invisible God. And that invisible God motivates impersonal love for all, the manifestation of virtue that is visible to the whole world. That invisible God motivates impersonal love for all, which is visible. Visible to all those in your periphery. They can't see the invisible God, but they can see the impersonal love for all. And where does that come from? This very special and unique plan that God has for us in the church age. And then we have hey cardia. That's the definite article. H long E, and this is the noun cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A, cardia. And most of you understand cardia. You Probably most of you have a cardiologist. And you go to a cardiologist. I have a cardiologist. Actually, I initially went to his father. And I would, there was a gal in the church here at that time. She was working in the medical profession, and I was having lots of irregular heartbeats. And she said, well, you need to go see Charles Ruggieroli. I said, okay. She says, he's the best in the city of Las Vegas. And this was Charles Ruggieroli Sr. And I went in, and he did all this stuff. I had monitors I carried around for weeks and months and did all these testing and stuff. And he says, you know, I think we need to get you on a beta blocker. Well, I didn't know what a effing beta blocker was. I said, okay. So he got me going on it. I thought I was going to have an effing heart attack. I was right here living in the church, and I almost thought I was going to die. And I called him up. I said, I'm not taking any more of that stuff. Boom. I don't care if you're the best cardiologist or not. Well, the next time I went to see him, he said, Dick, he goes, you made a good decision. You made a good decision to stop taking that. We have found in the medical profession that giving that for your issue and problem, many of our clients died. As I can understand that. He says, we don't recommend that. He says, I don't recommend that anymore. I suggest you take a supplement, magnesium. So I said, I'm ahead of you. I already am taking magnesium. And he started checking, and my arrhythmia disappeared. He'd always check. You know, I can't hear one extra heartbeat. I said, that magnesium is a great supplement. He goes, that's what I recommend from now on. Cardiologist. Well, I gave Doc, and I told him, I said, you know what I like about you, Doc? I'll tell you. You're objective enough to see where a supplement, something like magnesium, can do a better job than these medications that they crank out and make and give to people. And you are objective enough to say, this is better than that. And I said, I respect that. There are very few doctors that are objective enough to say that this supplement is better than a medication. So I said, you've gone way up in my opinion, Doc. I've always enjoyed you and thought you were a great cardiologist, but I'm thinking more all the time. Well, I gave him the gospel. I gave him a bunch of the colonel's booklets. He took those booklets and he would take him on fishing trips, and he'd come back and say, I read those booklets you gave me on my fishing trip. I said, great, I'm glad. And I gave him the gospel again and again. I said, Doc, I know you've got a Catholic background. God's not interested in Catholicism. You're not going to heaven because you're a Catholic. There will be probably some that will be in heaven. There will be lots that are not. The issue is not whether you're Catholic or not. The issue is faith in Jesus Christ, faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. With Catholicism, they throw in all these works. But it's faith in Jesus Christ, and that's it. Forget about the Catholicism. You simply believe in Christ, you're in heaven. And he said, well, I believe that. And he told me, he says, I don't know what you're going to die of, Pastor Olson, but you're not going to die of this arrhythmia. He says, I have the very same thing you have. I said, did you take a beta blocker? He says, I have the same thing you have. And he says, whatever I die of, it won't be from arrhythmia. Whatever you die of, it won't be of arrhythmia. Well, he wound up contracting cancer and was dying of cancer. And I got a phone call from a person in the church, said, Dr. Ruggieroli's dying of cancer and you need to go see him right away. So I dropped everything and went over to the hospital and walked in. And he was there by himself. And I came in and I said, Doc, I can't thank you enough for all you've done for me. And I want to come in and just say thank you. But that's not the main thing. I'm here. Doc, I sure would love to see you in heaven. There's only one issue. Jesus Christ. If you simply believe in Christ as your Savior, that's it. Faith alone in Christ alone. Forget about the Catholic works and all that. That doesn't mean anything. If you simply believe in Christ, you have eternal life. You'll be in heaven, and I will see you in heaven. He couldn't talk. He had cancer so bad he couldn't talk. And he reached out his hand and he grabbed my hand and he squeezed it as hard as he could squeeze it. I said, Doc, I take that as yes, that's exactly what you believe. I'll see you in heaven, sir. And right at that time, his wife came in with the beads, you know, and going and... But I walked out, and he died that night. I know he's in heaven. He died that night. Now I see his son, Charles Ruggieroli Jr. And when I first saw him, Chuck Jr., after his dad died, I said, I saw your father the day before he died. And he shut the door and he says, I want you to tell me everything that went on. I said, okay. And I explained exactly what happened. And he just got a big smile. And he says, thank you. Thank you so much for seeing my dad. I said, I loved your dad so much. He was a great, great doctor. And I'm sure you're going to be a great doctor as well, in walking in his footsteps. But you don't find doctors much anymore that are objective enough to look and see, is there something in natural supplements that you can take that will do the same or better than the medications that are out there without any side effects? Well, they have. I appreciate that. Well, this is our word, cardia, the word for heart, our heart. Specifically, it's referring to that part of the heart that we call the conscience. The sunedesis is in the heart. Sunedesis literally means to know with. It has norms and standards in your conscience that enables you to decide what's right, what's wrong, what's sin, what is not sin. All of that is there in your conscience as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and have the doctrine of hamartiology in those norms and standards. And then we have aeon plus the subjunctive of kataginosko with the negative me. Aeon plus the subjunctive. Now when you have A plus the indicative, I'll put that up here. When you have this, this is the conditional particle A plus the indicative. That introduces a first class condition. If you have the negative A with it, it's the second class condition. If first class, if something is true, it is. Put in a negative, if something is true, no, it is not. But when you have aeon plus the subjunctive, that introduces a third class condition. And that's what we have here. A third class condition. Aeon plus the subjunctive plus kataginosko with the negative me. And that negative me is very, very important. Karaganosko with the negative may. If our heart condemns us not, it condemns us not because we're living the spiritual life. In verse 20 it says, if our heart condemns us, we're living in Satan's cosmic system. So we have the same verb in verse 20 and verse 21, kataginosko. But in verse 21 we have kataginosko with the negative may. So verse 20, if our heart kataginoskos us, condemns us, we're living in Satan's cosmic system. Verse 21, if our heart condemns us not, the negative may with kataginosko, then we are living the spiritual life. And then the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego is us, believers living the unique spiritual life in the church age. So the corrected translation, beloved, we are beloved because we are in union with Jesus Christ, who is the beloved, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, then we have confidence toward God. This is the present active indicative of echo, plus the accusative singular paresia, plus the prepositional phrase pros, plus the accusative singular of theos, with the definite article. The verb echo E-C-H long O. Echo. Echo means to have and to hold, to possess. The present tense of echo has linear action sort. Linear action sort. You graph it like that. Linear aktion sort. It's a German word. And linear action sort means we keep on having. We keep on having. And then the active voice, the believer living the spiritual life, performs the action of the verb, the indicative mood, declarative, a dogmatic fact of the God-breathed scriptures. And then we have paresia. Looks like that in the Greek, P-A-R-R, long E-S-I-A, paresia. Paresia, Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 636, says that it should be translated confidence or joyousness. And that joyousness is plus H, sharing the happiness of God. Paresia, confidence and happiness. And then we have pros plus the accusative. P-R-O-S, pros plus the accusative. This means before. It means face to face with. Before God, face to face with God. The accusative singular of theos is the object of the preposition. Before God, face to face with God. So the corrected translation, beloved, royal family of God, if our heart does not condemn us, we keep on having confidence and happiness face to face with God, before God. You see, that's what, this is the reality of living the spiritual life. This is what God has for you. It's the best plan ever. The best plan possible. You can't get a better plan than this. Beloved, royal family, if our heart does not condemn us because we're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, then we keep on having confidence, happiness, face to face with God. One, as a result of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, the believer has accomplished the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. He has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. As a result of living the spiritual life, the unique spiritual life of the church age, by the spiritual skills, the believer has accomplished the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. He has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. 2, therefore, you have personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all. And you have occupation with Jesus Christ. And the other side of the coin, you share the happiness of God. Therefore, you have personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all. And you have occupation with Jesus Christ and share the happiness of God. 3, this results in maximum confidence. Confidence and happiness before God. Every day is Christmas in your life. How great is that? It's priceless. It's priceless. That's the plan that God has for you. The plan that God has for every one of you in here and all those out there, the extended Upland Bible Church. Every day is Christmas. So this results in maximum confidence and happiness in God. Before God, every day is Christmas. 4, Jesus Christ has made himself at home in your heart. That's the best of the best. Jesus Christ has made himself at home in your heart. And you enjoy moment by moment fellowship with him. Moment by moment fellowship with Jesus Christ. He's at home in your heart. You got a nice little fireplace there in your heart and a couple of easy chairs. The Lord is in one of them, you're in the other one. And you're enjoying moment by moment fellowship with the living and true God, Jesus Christ. Doesn't get any better than that. 5. The spiritually mature believer has maximum confidence in God and in the Word of God. He knows the Word of God is aletheia, absolute truth. For Jesus Christ declares, sanctify them by means of aletheia, absolute truth. Thy word is absolute truth. John 17:17. And the spiritually mature believer knows that. The spiritually mature believer has maximum confidence in God and maximum confidence in the Word of God because he knows the Word of God is absolute truth. He knows the living and true God is absolute truth. 6. However, there is no confidence, no happiness before God if you're living in Satan's cosmic system. However, there is no confidence and no happiness before God if you are living in Satan's cosmic system. If you're living in Satan's cosmic system, you have to come to your senses and rebound that grace provision from God, that problem-solving device. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, restoring us to fellowship with God, restoring us to the filling of the Spirit, restoring us to our unique spiritual life. You have to come to your senses and rebound and get back into fellowship with God. 7. However, to use the problem-solving device of rebound, this fantastic grace provision from our Lord, first of all, you have to know the source of your sin. You know what the source of your sin is? You. You. Y-O-U. Not E-W-E. Y-O-U. You have to know the source of your sin, which is you. And secondly, you have to take the responsibility for your own bad decision. You have to take the responsibility for your own bad decision. It's nobody else's fault. Don't go pointing the finger at anybody else. It's easy. If you want to point at somebody, point it at me. I have a lot of believers that point the finger at me and that damn Pastor Olson, shithead Olson. It's his fault. Oh, go ahead, point your finger all you want. I need the blessing, so just keep on going. It doesn't bother me. Believe me, it doesn't bother me. So 8. Now in verse 22, the spiritually mature believer living the spiritual life has maximum confidence before God, and his prayer life will be powerful and effective. Now in verse 22, the spiritually mature believer living the spiritual life not only has maximum confidence before God, but he also, his prayer life is powerful and effective. He fulfills the principle of James 5:16. The prayer of the grace righteous believer, the spiritually mature believer, is powerful and effective and accomplishes much. James 5:16. The prayer of the spiritually mature believer, the grace righteous believer, is powerful and effective and accomplishes much. So let's take a look before we get to verse 22, verses 20 and 21 again. Because if our heart condemns us, we're out of fellowship with God, living in the cosmic system. Bear in mind that God is greater than our heart. In fact, he has always known all things about you. Verse 21, beloved, royal family, if our heart does not condemn us, we're living the spiritual life in fellowship with God. We keep on having confidence, happiness before God. Now, verse 22, and this goes with, verse 22 goes with living the spiritual life and having confidence and happiness before God. And whatever we ask, this is the conjunction chi plus the nominative singular neuter of the relative pronoun host plus the conditional particle aeon with the present active subjunctive of itao. Now chi here is the connective chi, you translate it and. Combining what we had at the end of verse 21 with verse 22, two very great things about the winner believer living the spiritual life. And then the relative pronoun host in the neuter. Now, here's the relative pronoun in the nominative. Host looks like that. We have it in the neuter, ha. This is H-O-S. This is H-O. So the relative pronoun host in the neuter, ha, or ho, ha, means whatever when it's combined with aeon plus the subjunctive as it is in our verse. So ha plus aeon plus the subjunctive should be translated whatever. And then the verb iteo. A-I-T-E long O, iteo. And iteo means to ask for. And iteo is a verb for prayer. It means to ask in prayer. So now we have a very, very awesome and magnificent privilege God has given to us, and that is prayer. The present tense is a customary present and describes what habitually happens in the life of the believer, living the spiritual life, growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, having virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. The active voice, the spiritually mature believer performs the action of the verb. The subjunctive mood goes along with ha-aeon to indicate contingency. And therefore, it's translated, whatever we ask. And whatever we ask in prayer, we receive of him. Now, if you're living in the cosmic system, and I just said that, or you read this, whatever we ask in prayer, we receive from him. Hallelujah! I pray that my bracket is 100% right in March Madness. This is a marvelous promise that's directed to the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. It's a marvelous promise to the believer who has grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and reached spiritual maturity. It's a magnificent promise to the believer who has virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. It has nothing whatever to do with the believer living in the cosmic system. We got a lot of believers living in the cosmic system. Most of them are living in the cosmic system. And they're offering all kinds of prayers too. They don't go anywhere. Nowhere. The only prayer they can make that has any effect is rebound. That's it, period. That's the only one. Any other prayers go nowhere. And so here are all these believers. And most of them, their prayers go nowhere. In fact, they go nowhere so often they quit praying. In fact, when I was at Dallas Seminary, we had our so-called doctrinal students that were there, and this one guy who was in the crowd with the doctrinal crowd going to Dallas Seminary says, you know, and we're eating together. He says, I don't think prayer works. We looked at him. What'd you say? I don't think prayer works. Now, what, you have the gift of pastor teacher? Yes. You're preparing for the ministry? Yes. Now, are you going to get up in front of your congregation and say, I don't think prayer works? And we all looked up, prayer works! That's when he said that. When he said that, I made it right then. I am going to study the Word of God, what it says about prayer inside and out. And I am going to know prayer and teach it and teach it and teach it. And I've been doing that ever since I've been here. And you're an enlightened congregation. And one of the greatest ministries of this local church is its prayer ministry. Why? Because believers here have grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. They have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. What happens when you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart? You love God the Father. You have personal love for God the Father. Where do your prayers go? You pray the Father. And if you have personal love for God the Father, you want to go to prayer. Not something you have to do. You want to. You want to talk to him. You have personal love for the Father. And your prayers go to the Father. And you want to talk to him. Again and again and again. And you have impersonal love for all. So you pray for others. The good, the bad, and the ugly. You pray for them. You don't malign them, slander them, judge them. You pray for them. If they're making bad decisions, pray that God will do whatever it takes so they come to their senses. Come to their senses and rebound. Get back in fellowship. Get back into the filling of the Spirit. Get back into the spiritual life. And live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ so that your life, whatever it is from now on, might glorify God to the maximum. We're not here that long. And that's the ultimate objective. To have virtue, love brought to completion in our hearts so we might glorify God to the maximum. Whatever we ask in prayer, we receive of Him. This is the present active indicative of lambano plus the prepositional phrase apa plus the genitive singular of autos. Lambano. L-A-M-B-A-N, long O, lambano. Lambano means to receive. It means to receive something from someone. The preposition apa plus the genitive singular of autos apa, A-P-O, that's the preposition. Autos is used in Koine Greek most of the time as the substitute for the third person singular personal pronoun. And therefore, it means either he or she or it. And here it refers to he. And from him is from God the Father. And whatever we ask in prayer, we receive from Him, God the Father. That's where all of our prayers go. All of our prayers go to the Father. And whatever we ask in prayer, we receive from Him, God the Father. One, this is a prayer promise for believers who are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. This is a prayer promise for believers who are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. It is not a promise for believers living in the cosmic system. This is a prayer promise only for believers living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. That is, he lives his life by the power of the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:18, keep on being empowered by God the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16, walk by means of the Spirit, you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. He's living his life by the power of God the Holy Spirit. He is consistently and faithfully assembling in a sound Bible teaching church and metabolizing doctrine, getting maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. That's spiritual skill number two. Spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit. Spiritual skill number two, continually and faithfully assembling in a sound Bible teaching church and metabolizing doctrine, getting metabolized doctrine in his heart. And he has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all and occupation with Christ. Two, this results in a powerful and effective prayer life that accomplishes much. This results in a powerful and effective prayer life that accomplishes much. Three, personal love for God the Father motivates you to habitually pray. You want to pray. When you have personal love for God, that will motivate you to habitually pray. You will want to pray because you love the Father and your prayers go to the Father. 4, your impersonal love for all enables you to have powerful and effective prayer for others. Because impersonal love for believers and unbelievers, the good, the bad, and the ugly of both. And 5, your occupation with Christ makes prayer a top priority in your spiritual life. Your occupation with Christ makes prayer a top priority in your spiritual life. So the corrected translation, and whatever we ask in prayer, we receive from Him, God the Father, because we, now here's the kicker, but this is true. This is reality for the winner believer, for the believer living the spiritual life. This is reality. Because we keep His commandments. This is the conjunction ha ti plus the present active indicative of tereo plus the accusative plural of entele with the definite article plus the genitive singular of autos. Ha ti. H-O-T-I. Ha ti. Ha ti is used here as a causal conjunction. Correctly translated, because. It introduces the cause or the reason for this powerful and effective prayer life of the spiritually mature believer. Here is the cause or the reason for the powerful and effective prayer life of the spiritually mature believer. And then this great word, tereo. T, long E, R. E, long O, tereo. 1, tereo literally means to keep watch over someone or something. It means to guard. In fact, this word literally was used for guarding a prisoner. 2, it came to mean to keep, to observe, to fulfill, to obey, to pay attention to. 3. In our passage, it specifically is used for paying attention to, obeying, fulfilling the mandates of the Word of God. In our verse, it is specifically used for paying attention to, obeying, fulfilling the mandates of the Word of God. 4, the word mandate is entele. E-N-T-O-L, long E. Entele. Entele means commands, mandates. The genitive singular of autos, His mandates, God's mandates. 5, these mandates include the mandates to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. These mandates include the mandates to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Ephesians 5:18, mandate for all of us. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being empowered by God the Holy Spirit. Now you're all indwelt with the Spirit. You never lose that. And you were initially, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you're indwelt and filled with the Spirit. You'll always be indwelt with the Spirit, but you lose the filling of the Spirit when you sin. So God has to put it in a command, imperative mood. Keep on being empowered by the Holy Spirit. He doesn't give a command for indwelling. That's always indicative mood. That's just reality. That's a fact. But the verb to be filled with the Spirit is the imperative mood. And so the command is keep on being empowered by God the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16. Keep on walking by the agency of the Spirit. Keep on living the spiritual life by the power of God the Holy Spirit. A negative command, a negative mandate, Ephesians 4:30. Stop grieving the Spirit. Another negative command, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Stop quenching the Spirit. You grieve the Spirit and quench the Spirit when you're living your life in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. So we are given this mandate. Stop grieving the Spirit. Stop quenching the Spirit. 2 Peter 3:18, we're given the mandate, grow up spiritually, grow up spiritually in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A mandate. Hebrews 10:25, a mandate. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. That's a mandate. These mandates are what are included here in this verse. Also, the mandates to have virtue love brought to completion in your hearts. Jesus Christ gave us this mandate. This command I give to you, John 13, 34-35, that you love one another. Again, Jesus Christ taught this, John 15:9-10, John 15:12, and John 15:17. He commands us to love one another with impersonal love. 1 John 2:3-5. In fact, look at 1 John 2. We studied this. 1 John 2:3-5. You see, John still, he was teaching this in chapter 2. Now he's in chapter 3, and he's just really amplifying. 1 John 2:3. And by means of this, we know that we have come to know him. Personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ. If we obey his commandments, his mandates. Verse 4. The one who keeps on maintaining or claiming that I know God, personal love for God and occupation with Christ, but does not obey his commands, his mandates, he's a liar. And the absolute truth of the Word of God is not in him. Verse 5. But if anyone keeps on observing, fulfilling, obeying his Word, the mandates of God's Word, then the love of God, virtue love, has truly been brought to completion in him, in his heart. And by this we know, we understand, we appreciate that we are in him. We are abiding in him, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Well, he also gives us this mandate in 1 John 3:23, 1 John 4:21, Ephesians 5:1 and 2. But come back next week and we'll go into this in more detail, what their heads bowed. Father, we constantly amazed at your grace to us and all the provisions you provide. Thank you for the absolute truth of your word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.